Welcome to the Sigma Femme podcast. We're so honored to have you here and want to thank you for choosing to step up your life and business while being unapologetically you. The Sigma Femme is neither a leader nor a follower. She is committed to living her life, her way. She has charisma and unstoppable power like no other. Let's expand the Sigma Femme community together. Now here's your host, Hayley Forbes.
Hi everybody and welcome back to the Sigma Femme podcast. I am so excited to have the incredible Nick Pigeon with me today, and we are going into the series Behind the Business. So I am really, really excited to talk about this because often we see coaches, entrepreneurs in this online space, and you see the big numbers and the big success, especially with Nick, but we don't always have the conversations of what goes on behind the businesses and the ups and downs and the highs and lows that come with that as well. Before we dive in, I just want to offer you to introduce yourself, Nick, to anybody who doesn't know you. So tell us who you are and a little bit about your story.
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. So I am Nick Pigeon, positive psychologist, business mentor, Hay House author, and Geordie, who lives in LA. So I'm always astounded when people let me do things like audiobooks and podcasts like this with this accent. So from one northerner to another, I'm very, very happy to be here.
I was going to say, I've got like the Scottish accent, so I get it.
we can have subtitles and we can have like translations for us both.
I think we might need it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, I'm always like, I'm just a Scottish girl with pink hair. So you said there as well, so you came from Newcastle, and I want to kind of take it back to the beginning a little bit and how you got into this. Because as you said, you're in LA now. You've got your book behind you just now. Like, you're an award-winning author. Like, you've won lots of awards and you have created an amazing amount of success, not just for yourself, but the people in your world as well, and really created that positive impact. But where did this all start? Like, why did you get into this space? And what did that look like coming from, not that there's any preconceptions coming from Newcastle, but coming from Scotland? I do understand that when you're grown up in somewhere that I'd say is a little bit closed-minded. And I think if you're in the UK, unless you're in London, there's not a lot of big entrepreneurship going on, especially not sort of a few years ago. Now it's getting more normalized with the online space. But tell me, what did that look like and how did this start?
It's super interesting because looking back, you can kind of piece things together much more easily than for me, I could kind of carve a path forwards. So whilst I didn't study business or anything like that at university, when I look back at where I very first started, my very first business was actually charging my dad and my mum to do the ironing in the house. They didn't ever ask me. I was never invited. But I set up a little business. I was like, right, I'm going to make some cash and I'm going to charge my dad to iron his shirts for work. And he used to go mad, Hayley, because I was so bloody bad at it. I was like, right, okay, it's £1.20 for a shirt. It's 50 pence for like a t-shirt. And I used to do so much. I'd have like everything hung up and I'd be like, dad, you owe me like £10.50. And he'd be like, Nicola, man, I've got to do it all again before work because you're so bad at ironing. And I literally still don't iron. That was my first and last adventure into ironing. So that was my first little business. And then I did things like Young Enterprise in high school, where I was the managing director of a tie-dye sock business in high school. But even though I had this like entrepreneurial kind of flair or interest or desire, the academic choices that I was making at the time, it didn't even reflect that. So I was studying maths, physics, geography. I did do business in high school, but then I went down a path of wanting to become a mechanical and automotive engineer. And that was because actually of my dad, and because at the time in Newcastle, and very much in the school system, we were told, like, you have to choose a path for a degree that's going to make you a lot of money. And my dream at the time was to make £30,000 a year. And there was something inside of me that was like, could I really do that? Like, could I be the girl that makes that much money in a year? Okay, well, I've got to do the thing that makes me the money. So I applied for mechanical and automotive engineering degrees. I wanted to work in Formula One. I've always been obsessed with cars. So I got 2 scholarships to study at Newcastle University and at Loughborough University. And then my boyfriend, who I was with at the time, who I'd been with for a while, he actually said to me, like, Nick, like, I know you signed up to do all of this stuff, but I'm going to play cricket in Australia for 6 months in the, like, the off season. Do you want to come with me? So I'm like, maybe I do, you know, like, maybe I do want to go to the other side of the world, age 17, 18, and just take a gap year and kind of have some fun before I go to university. So I'd gone over there and he was seeing a sports psychologist who said to him, and he came back to tell me this story. And I always tell this story because when you ask why I do what I do, it's because of this single conversation. Okay. So the sports psychologist said to him, when you're like on the cricket field and you've got the bat in your hand, you're looking out at the field, what I want you to focus on is not the fielders. I want you to focus on the gaps in between the fielders instead. So he came back to the hotel and told me this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. What if we actually did this in life and not just in sport? How many times do we focus on what's going wrong or focus on the bills? What if we focused on what goes right and the opportunities? So from that one conversation, little Miss Crazy over here cancelled my university degrees just on a whim. But for me, it wasn't a whim because it was like an intuitive knowing. And I went through clearing, which in England is like a process of basically all of the university degrees that are left over. You can kind of go through and see if you can grab one of the ones that are left. So I ended up doing psychology at university, having never done it before, and then going on to study my master's in positive psychology from there.
There's so many like little similarities that were cropping up as well. So my first business was a car washing business, and me and my friend started it as well. And we were so bad that her dad had to like go and pay the people who paid us to wash their car money to go and get their car washed. So like, I love that our effort was there and the intention was there, even if we weren't that great at it. And I'd love for you to, so even before the conversation happened that sort of spiraled you on down this path, I'd love to talk about you saying yes to going and traveling across the other side of the world, because again, it's something that I see in myself is when there's opportunities, it comes from this like, why not? Rather than what I see so many people do. And I think what's normalized in the world is people saying like, well, I couldn't do that. I could, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could just up and travel on a whim. Like, what do you think that is? And is it something you've recognized as well? I see it in so many entrepreneurs, they've just got that within them. And I don't even see it as risk taking, because I think also sitting and doing nothing is taking a risk. I just think it's not playing into society's standards of what they say your life should look like on paper. But at that age, because you were really young at the time, like, what went through your mind, or what do you think led up to you being the type of person that would just do that?
It's really interesting because I remember going to a dinner with and meeting my friend's mum for the first time. And she said to me, like, you've got a really intrepid spirit. And I didn't even know what that word meant at the time. I had to like go look it up, and it means like adventurous. And for me, it reminded me of watching Indiana Jones when I was younger, and that like kind of like explorer, adventurer kind of vibe that I didn't even realize I had until somebody reflected it as something that was quite unique. I think that one of the things that I have always done and I've got better and better at over the years, it's like trusting the idea or the yes inside of me and following that no matter where it goes. And I know that you and I are both projectors in human design. I'm a splenic projector, so I make decisions really quick. And if I don't follow the immediate yes or the immediate no, then I can get myself into a little pickle. So if something's a yes for me immediately, I'm like, oh, cool, okay, I'm going to go and do that thing. And it's opened me up to new experiences, and it's given me a richness in my life that I wouldn't have had. I also am always kind of reflective over like the overuse of this as well, because like I've got so accustomed to having so much freedom and having so many choices and so much opportunity that sometimes I've said yes when actually it's not the best thing for my body, for example. So COVID was a really great experience for me personally because it really got me to slow down. And having gone through like a big book tour for Now Is Your Chance back in 2017, 2018, where I was doing wild shit, like being in Barbados waiting for a visa and then hopping to Orlando to get on a stage and then sleeping one night and flying to LA to speak on a stage and then go to Mexico for a mastermind. It was like, I can do it. But just because you can do it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you should. And I think that it's looking for like, what is the big, like I'm always driven by what the big mission and the big purpose is and how I can fulfill that. But I'm also looking at how can I do that in a way that feels really, really good? How can I do it in a way that looks after the longevity of my body and my health, which is a core value for me, as well as the growth, as well as the connection, as well as the impact and the mission? How can I be more mindful of actually having experiences that are spacious as well as being expansive too?
I see that, and I don't know about you, but I also think that you mentioned human design. I see that as a projector thing as well, as that sometimes we can go into, especially when other people come with the ideas or the invitations, and sometimes it's that desire to be recognized and then also that desire not to let someone else down, or that perception of letting someone else down, because we can feel other people and we just like want to come in. And I think one thing I see a lot in projectors is that sort of having to recover from people pleasing. And this can be an element of it as well, as actually standing and saying no, and with yourself as well, realizing like when's not the best time to go into something as well. So I absolutely love that. And has there been a time, so because you've had all these opportunities and because you've created all these opportunities for yourself as well, and you spoke about sort of speaking on different stages and traveling in different countries, was there ever a time while you were in the creation mode of this where you doubted if this was the right thing, or you questioned your choices in that moment?
All the time. And I think like, when you said, and we started this conversation today, and you were like behind the business, I'm like, do you actually really want to know what goes on behind the business? Because maybe no one would.
We want to know.
Like, no one would ever want to set up a business if they actually know. And I think like, as well, you touched on, I mean, there's so much that comes through this conversation. You touched on like when we were kids and we set up these little businesses and we didn't know what we were doing and we were really bad at what we were doing, but we did it anyway. I think that energy of just being in the testing and being in the practice, even if you're not exactly where you want to be yet, that has always served me personally very, very well, because I continually feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not where I want to be. Like, am I even good? Am I even interesting when I write these books? Like, am I doing a good job? I think that as entrepreneurs, like we can be really, really hard on ourselves, not just entrepreneurs, as humans. So I'm always in the practice of like, how can I lead and really be in a more compassionate place, both for myself and also for others? I'm always in a space of reflection and shifting perspectives, which I've got really good at doing really quick. And I can always see how there's a learning and a lesson in something, even if it goes wrong. Even looking at like the travel side of things or the speaking side of things, in my life, I've always been told that I can't do the things that I want to do. I was told growing up that I can't be a speaker, that I'll only ever earn 75 grand a year. I was told that I can't be an entrepreneur because I'm not good at it, and it wasn't working when I first started. Like, you have to get clear on what is it you really, really want. Like, what is it you really committed to? What is it you really love? What is your highest expression, your highest purpose? Because when you run a business, there's a bunch of other shit that you've got to deal with, as well as the stuff that you really love. So it's like, you have to be willing to go through hard things. And in the times that you want to quit or the times that you want to give up, it's like that, you know, that graphic where you see the miners, and they're like mining for gold, or it's like diamonds or gold or something. And there's two pictures, and there's one where someone's given up just before they've got to the gold or the treasure. And there's another one where someone's just kept going that little bit, and that's where everything has paid off. And I think that analogy or that remembering has served me really well, because there's times where, and I've had this a lot, like I've had this a lot where I've gone into these amazing experiences or hotels around the world, or I've arrived somewhere and I've been so excited and I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing what I love. Like, I'm getting on these stages or I'm going into a hotel, and I'm like, but I'm on my own. And I think that there's, with any life experience, whether you are single or you've got a partner, whether you have a family or you don't have a family, whether you've got loads of kids like you, or whether you have no kids like me yet, like, there's always something that's going to be hard in the experience. So it's like, which hard are you going to choose? Because it's always going to be there. It's just going to be a different version of hard.
100%. And it's so interesting as well. And this is where so many people, well, we all do it as well. We create stories based on our perception and don't always. So I was speaking to a client today, actually, and she was expressing that it's sometimes frustrating navigating it all. She's a mom, and being a mom and being in business and being in this space. But as you said, there's like someone else who's got the success on paper, but that's what they crave. They crave the relationship, or they crave the, and I love the phrase, the grass is always greener on another side, because it's true. So it was proven that the way that grass blades are created and the way they reflect light, the grass will always look greener on another side. But as soon as you go to the other side and look on it the other way, then the other side looks greener. And for me, like, I just loved actually hearing that statistic, because I'm like, it actually doesn't matter the color of the grass, it will always look greener when you're looking at it from that other side. So when you've got that awareness that, of course, it's always going to, if you're putting it without yourself, and if you're always questioning, well, they've got it easier, or should I have done this, or maybe I should have, like, it will always look better when you're looking for, I think it's that proof. It keeps us safe and it keeps us in our comfort zone, right? And it's like, our mind is like, subconscious mind is looking for these negative things to keep us safe, and it's like, okay, that's keeping us safe. And you can choose another story, and you can be like, thanks brain for keeping me safe and looking out for the negative, but I want to stack up the positives. Because I think that's the thing, is when we're chatting about like behind the business, is there's stuff that goes on, and there's hard stuff, and there's self-doubts. And one thing, I held my retreat lately, and it was a couple of months ago, and all of the women that came said the best thing was seeing that we were all shoulder to shoulder, and there's no hierarchy, and everybody's still going through the same problems, it's just on a different scale. And I know that that's something, like, you really cultivate that community within your containers as well. And like, obviously I've been in your world since I first started in this business, and it's that nobody's better or worse than each other, and we're all dealing with stuff as well. But if you start thinking or looking outside of yourself, then you're always going to see that it looks on the surface better. It's not about handling it better or worse, but having that emotional intelligence, because you said about reflection, about taking time to reflect on things as well, and looking for the positive in things. And that doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. And I think, like, it's a testament to the self-development work and the personal development work. And that's a practice. Like, and obviously you teach positive psychology as well, so that's ingrained in that as well. But I really think it is a practice that people have to work on. It's like the affirmation that I write at the start of every single day is, I choose to be happy and love myself today. Because it's a choice. Like, happiness isn't something that just happens to you. Sometimes it does, but you have to choose that every single day. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this around the business as well. Is there's days when it's easy to choose your business, and there's other days where it's really freaking hard. When you do question, why do I want this and why am I doing this? I love people. It's why I'm in this industry. I love helping people. It's the projector in me, but it's also just me. And there's still been days where I'll say to Derek, I'm like, why am I even doing this? Like, I don't even like people. Like, can we just quit this and like go and live by a beach somewhere in the middle of nowhere? But I think, like, I just remind myself, well, I've got a choice. I could do that if I want. And I think you've shared a story like this as well, actually, where what you were somewhere and it was a little surf shop that was by the beach. And I think you said, like, well, I just give everything up and I'll just work in this little surf shop instead.
Yeah, Hawaii. So when we go to Hawaii for the retreat, we'll find a surf shop, because that is like, it does come through from time to time. And I think for me, like, where I see it is like the question around, like, why do I put so much pressure on myself to go so fast? And I actually, now I'm way better than I used to be. I used to be like, let's do everything as quickly as possible. It's going to be like really messy, but whatever. And now I'm much more methodical, strategic, patient. And I know we're going to get where we want to go ultimately. But I also have this question around, well, like, why do I even do it at all? Because I could have a much smaller business, and I could have like a ton of cash, and I could like live my lifestyle the way that I want to live it without needing to scale a business anymore. So I'm always in that question. I'm like, well, why do I want to scale the business? And it's actually because of the impact that it can create, and because of the work that I've already done to be in a very unique position to be able to offer the change and the impact that I can, that has this like triangulation between positive psychology, entrepreneurship and business, and the coaching, which is a very unique combination. So I'm like, actually, I've been given these gifts. I've been given this opportunity to be in service, and I am grateful for that. And I want to lean into it more and more and more, even if it's at a cost of sometimes feeling the pressure or not feeling as capable as I perhaps could feel, or feeling scared because it is scary, or maybe like making sacrifices to be at 36 and not have kids yet. Like, that's a choice that I've made because I've chosen to kind of move things and get them into a place a little bit later in life where I feel like now I'm in a position that I can do that. So I think it's like looking at, like, why are you going to keep on going? And you have to be really, really clear on that. Really, really clear. Like, what is the purpose? What is the reason you're going to keep on going? And then how are you going to remind yourself of that when it does feel like it's tough? And where can you find the little moments? Like, you talk about, like, happiness is a choice you make. Like, one of the things that I miss the most about being in the UK is, like, I miss my niece and nephew, Olivia and Alfie, growing up. I get to see your kids, Hayley, more than I get to see my own family. And I'm so excited to be able to hug Millie. I'm like, where's Millie been since Barbados? I can't wait to see her and literally like hug her in Italy. But that's one of the things. It's like, I am very clear of the sacrifices that I've had to make. And I look for the wins and the moments and the gold within like the different experiences that I get to have. I get to bring other people's families together. I get to see three generations on that boat in Barbados of our students, like family, their husband, their kids, but also their parents as well. And for one of our students, Dawn, her mum, to turn around and be like, Nick, I'm like 72 or 74 or whatever she was. This was the first time that I've ever been on a jet ski. Thank you so much. Like, I just burst into tears. I'm like, my job is done. Like, this is why I've worked for like the last 15 years to get to do these things, to give families these gifts. Like, that's actually
put Dawn's mum on a jet ski.
Yes, exactly. And it's like looking for those moments.
It's so funny because I made a post today and it was inspired by an old post that I made before. And the old post that I was looking at, it's so funny this conversation would come up because the post literally says, money doesn't buy you happiness, but money does buy you jumping on a jet ski in the Caribbean. That's literally the one that came up today, and it was me on a jet ski in Barbados. So I was like, well, it doesn't buy happiness, but it does come close.
That's wild.
And I think, I know, the fact that had come up today, and that's the conversation that we're having today as well. And I remember being on the boat in the Caribbean, and I remember looking round and seeing the likes of like Millie and the boys as well. So the boys were like in the water playing with the turtles and stuff, and I was like, my kids have came on business class, flew halfway across the world, and they're now on a catamaran with millionaires and multimillionaires in the Caribbean Ocean, and Millie was like 4 at that time. And when I look back at like how I grew up, and it was so wildly different, it's like to give other people around you those opportunities for you to invite me and my family over, for me to then decide to bring my kids. And I think that that's one thing as well, like when you're talking about sacrifices and having kids and not having kids, is even one thing that I found about having kids in this industry is then the choices and the sacrifices within having kids in the business, and how involved are you going to have them? A lot of people say, like, you're so lucky that you can take your kids here. But I'm like, yeah, but I have to sacrifice to bring them because I want the integration of it. Whereas, like, I never wanted that sort of separation as well. So there's all these, like, caveats and all these things, like, have kids, don't have kids, have your kids in your business, don't have them in your business. And it can be put into any area of business, I think. It's relationships, it's, as you say, family. Are you going to live away from family or close to family? And I think this all comes into it. And the mission is, like, one thing, and being driven by the mission. How do you get through those moments where, or is there any moments where you're just like thinking of the mission itself doesn't pull you through? You're just like, nope, I'm just in this place right now. I don't like anything. Like, what? Like, these are the moments that I'm usually Netflix and some ice cream. I'm like, I just need an hour to, like, just not think, and then I'll be better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I have reminders all around my house. Like, I've got these, you know, the big notepads that I bring to retreats. I have them, like, with the mission written on. I don't have my glasses on right now, so it's kind of blurry even looking over there. I'm like, I really need to wear my glasses. So I have very, like, physical reminders in my day. But for sure, like, it's hard. And I remember it's not just the like, the scary stuff or the actual challenges that are hard. Sometimes it's more like the allowing of the expansion or the gravity of, like, one decision and what that opportunity or cost could be. And I remember a time in Dubai, and I was just, like, mind blown. I was across there for 5 weeks last year. And one of the things that I love about Sir Richard Branson is, like, I think you learn so much from mentors and who they are, not just what they teach. So I've always looked, like, let's say I go to an event with Brendan, for example. Yeah, obviously I'm listening to what he teaches, but I'm also looking at, like, how he behaves with his team or how he's got things set up and how he does things. With Richard, he is obviously amazing as an entrepreneur, but I'm always looking at what someone's character is as well. And one of the things he did last year that blew me away was we'd been on Necker, and he'd said to me, like, Nick, can I interview you about your journey? Because you've got so many students here, and you obviously had investment from Virgin Startup 300 years ago when you started in business. Can I interview you about that? And I'm going to write an article for you and put it on my personal blog. Now, when someone says that, you're like, oh, it may or may not happen. But on one random day in November, he actually published the article, and I got an email from the Virgin team, and it was like, oh, Richard's done this, like, bio of you essentially on his blog. So I was sat there, Hayley, and, like, I'm terrible at social media anyway. Like, I'm always in awe of you because you're so good. I'm like, right, I'm going to sit here, and I had my phone, and I'm sat on this, like, couch, and I feel like I can't tell anyone because I don't want to, like, brag about it, but I'm like, Sir Richard Branson just written a blog about me. So I text my dad, right, and I'm like, Dad, here's the link, like, Sir Richard Branson's just written an article about me. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like thinking, I've got all these things to do in the businesses, and some of the decisions that we're making are like $10 million decisions. And now I'm like, how do I write this social media post? I'm like, and then loads of things are going wrong. And I'm like, what do I do? And I was kind of in this, like, little, like, happy freeze state of not knowing what was going on. And then I decided, I was like, right, what do I need to do? I just need to move my body. So a lot of my processing, and a lot, whether it's like high positive emotion or low negative emotion, a lot of my processing will be done through movement. So I have a background as a personal trainer, and my specialism has always been in physical activity. So I literally remember just putting on my sneakers and going to walk in, like, this, like, blazing hot Dubai, and walking around and being like, what is going on? Like, this feels like too much. There's so much pressure. I've got to make these big decisions. What if I do it wrong? Okay, everything's good. Get into gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Life is amazing. What the fuck's going on? And I think that I've just learned to shift the energy. So I'm definitely down for all the ice cream as well, by the way.
And some vegan cookie dough, vegan Ben and Jerry's vegan cookie dough. It's, yeah,
I love it. Tasty. Love it. Yeah, I'm always in the practice now of not forcing something. So if you are feeling something in your body, whether it's anxiety or it's like, oh my goodness, I'm mind blown right now, or I'm scared, or I've got a decision to make, sometimes the best thing you can do is actually not focus on that thing. It's actually going to do your Netflix and your ice cream, or it's getting out for a walk, or it's going to have a conversation, and it's like it starts to open up your mind, because when you experience those positive emotions, you're actually able to make decisions and find solutions more easily too.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just zoomed into that feeling, right? And it's like, and I love that you spoke about as well how it's not always like negative, because I think sometimes when we're having these like big emotions in business as well, it's we've got the negative ones, we've got the positive ones, and we've got the duality of both happening at once. And I think like these aren't the conversations that everybody's having. And I remember once feeling completely overwhelmed because I was going through a period in my life where like all of my clients were messaging me being like, you've changed my entire life. And you've done, and I know that that's it. Like, how can that be a problem? But I remember it just feeling like so big and so like, how do I deal with like these people are going to find out that like, I'm just a normal person. Like how, like, I mean, like, I'm like, how can you hold that much like gratitude from other people? And so there's that element as well. And then as you said, like, the pressure, and it can be good decisions, it can be bad decisions, it can just be decisions. And I remember I watched a documentary recently with Lewis Capaldi, and I really resonated to like his journey. But what he was saying is that his first album, he had 12 years to write the songs for, and it was over a period of just 12 years of his life of just writing out of excitement and joy and fun. And then he had 1 year to write the second album, and now it was pressure, now there's expectations, now like you're out in the world and it's like you've got everything you wanted, but now there's eyes watching you. And I know for me, I just related to that because you're just holding so much more when it's just you. And I think like, and I always remember your story, Nick, of like you starting out and you traveling and working from your suitcase and like your friend's bedroom. And sometimes it's like a lot of people talk about the start and how difficult it is to start and doing what it takes. But I also think that at the beginning, you've got this amazing grit and the audacity to just like believe, well, anything is possible. And like, there's not as much risk, even though it can seem riskier, there's not as much pressure. And then as you get along, there's more pressure, there's more eyes. And then as you say, it's also like, and I remember having this conversation actually in Dubai with a few of us of what's the reason why you do this when the money's not the thing? What's the reason why you do this when you're dealing with these things? And I think as well, like, is that something that you've experienced? And even though like I know for me, I would never go back to the beginning again. I had like 15 one-to-one clients at one point. I was like working morning right through until like I was still on the laptop at like 2 o'clock in the morning and doing what it took. But it was also like that got me to here. And at the time I was just doing what I had to do. And even though it was tough, sometimes I feel like it was easier because there's no expectation. There is just everything in front of you that you can like go after, whereas now it's like, oh, I'm like holding so many people, and that's like such a thing to be grateful for, and it feels really big as well, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and it's like it's an upgrade on, like when I said choose your hard, it's like, how are you going to upgrade the choices that you make in terms of the issues and the problems that you deal with? Because it's almost like different like levels on a pyramid or on a ladder or like a cycle that you go through, where you've got mastery of one level, which invites you into experiencing the next. So when I started in business, it was really like, it was, if you look at the difference between then and now, like what I had when I first started was a way to make cash online. And it wasn't as substantiated as a business with team or processes or like a way to do certain systems or operations, or it wasn't professionalized yet. And I think that's the difference. And you get to decide. You don't have to ever really professionalize a business if you don't want to. You can be a solopreneur. You can have a professional operation that's really simple, or you can build an entity, a company, a business that can operate and grow whether you're there or you're not there. And I think that's the difference between deciding and understanding, like, which parts of what you do you actually really love and which parts have to be you? Because when you move into running a business, like I often say, and you'll hear me say this on like calls, I'm like, did you ever realize or did you ever know that we were all going to become these like amazing digital marketers? Because I didn't sign up to be a digital marketer. I signed up to be a speaker, an author, a coach, a positive psychologist. I just got really fucking good at digital marketing. And now everyone's like, oh my God, you're so good at marketing. I was like, wow, this is fascinating. And actually, if you look at my life path number, it's an 8. So it's like the money, the material, the abundance, the power, the success. So it's actually my life path to be a business person. So once I understood that, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can do both. So I think it's like, again, it's like looking at these strengths and looking at what we're really, really good at.
You spoke about that we can all learn, and we all do. And I see that as well in my business. Like I came into it and suddenly like I'm learning all these things. And one, I think like, can we just take our hats off to entrepreneurs? Because we do a heck of a lot. Like there's even like content creators online. I'm like, do you understand how many roles they're doing? Like 20 years ago, that would have been like 10 different roles. And they're just all doing it. We do so many roles and we learn and we develop. Do you think it is available to everybody to come into the online space and have that big success? And is there, like, so I think that's one question is, do you think it's available? And then I think the next one is, do you think that everybody's got what it takes? Because there's a point of, is it available to everybody? But because I think, and sometimes I see it as well, like there's patterns and successful entrepreneurs, there's patterns and there's all these things they learn. And then there's also often this just like innate, like going back to you ironing your dad's shirts and me washing someone's car, it's like, well, my life is mine to create and I'm going to make sure that I do my part in creating that.
So yes, it's available to everyone. And I think more and more, like there's just so much access now to resources, so much access to being able to set things up online. And I think that when I started, it was kind of just starting to be a space where online was a thing. And I remember building my first website in 2009 or whatever, and it was terrible. It was so bad, but I just got started. I think now, like, there's so much access at our fingertips that anybody can do it. I think that you have to be willing, because you say, like, is everyone cut out for it? I think you have to be willing to build the character so you are cut out for it. Because, and that's a decision, like, am I willing to do whatever it takes? And doing whatever it takes often doesn't just mean strategy or hustle or showing up. Doing whatever it takes often involves being brutally honest with yourself around where you fucked up, or brutally honest with yourself about where you see an opportunity for growth. And it might look like going to heal your trauma. It might look like working on yourself and working through things that you'd forgotten that had ever happened to you or for you. So I think this lifetime, really, it's about this finding joy through challenge. It's about mastering suffering and understanding how we can thrive and we can prevail through that. But it's also about the willingness to do it in the first place. And I just think you have to choose. There's no right or wrong. It's not like everybody should be an entrepreneur or everybody should have a business. It's like, if you decide you want it, then know that you can do it and be willing to make the decisions and the choices to do whatever it takes in order for you to get what you want.
100%. And that's it. I don't think that it necessarily is the right thing for everybody. Like, I know my mum is not interested in this kind of world at all. She likes going to her job, doing her work, coming back, and like, work's done. It's done. It's out of her head. She lives her life. She goes back to work the next day. And I couldn't think of anything worse, but that suits her. I'm not sure if you're the same. I've definitely learned to hold it a lot better in the last year, I'd say, since I've grown myself as an entrepreneur and worked on myself more and bigger emotional emotional intelligence and things as well. But I know one thing that I used to feel really like it used to hurt me so much is like when I could see that someone wanted something and I could see the potential in them, but they weren't willing to do it. And it's like wanting something so bad for someone else. And I think there's so two things I'd like to speak about here, actually. One, that, and have you ever experienced that as well? Like you see the potential in someone and you want it so bad for them, but you can't want it more than they want it. They have to want it for themselves. I think that's one thing. And then another thing is, and I'm not sure if you've had this, but do you ever get like people will come into your world and they'll see what it is, the way that you're living, and just instantly think like, well, that's what I want as well, but then they're so not ready for it. So I see a lot of people come into, and not just the way I run business, but like being vegan or home educating the kids, and like I think like people see on the surface the shiny life that looks perfect on paper, and then they come in and then you just see like everything, like they start to self-sabotage, or they start because they've projected an image and an expectation of your life and then what their life could be. And I think that's why having these conversations as well behind the business, because I think we get to chat about this kind of stuff, and I just hope that people hear it and it really lands for them, because I will tell people again and again and again, it's like the easiest thing in the world and the hardest thing in the world. And I tell people the challenges that we go through and about how it's not always easy. And like you said, there are sacrifices and choose your hard, but it's up to them if they then choose to hear that or not. And a lot of people will hear it but not hear it. They won't take it in. They're like, okay, I get it, but they still think, but it must be easier for you, or but when I get that much money then it'll be fine, like your life looks, and then they come in and that reality is not what they expect. So yeah, I'd love, like, what's your thoughts on all of that?
It's interesting because I think as well it's like you don't often recognize how far you've come, and like hindsight is a wonderful thing. Perspective is a wonderful thing. And we build these lives step by step. Like I'm always curious about, like when I get asked the question, like, how did you get to where you're at right now? I'm like, I've literally got no idea. I've got no idea, because I literally just put one foot in front of the other. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, whoa, cool. Like, look what I did. Like, look how far I came. But also you have the opportunity to really take stock in that and take stock of that. And you know, it's one of the positive psychology tools. It's like, write a list of 20 awesome things about you and just look at how far you've already come. As well as like driving forwards, there's a lot to be said for who we already are and what we've already done. Now, I've had some perspective from friends recently who've come through LA and they're like, oh, Nick, you're my healthy friend, or oh my goodness, like, look at all these things that you do in your day. And I'm like, oh, well, that's normal. And they're like, no, Nick, that's not normal at all. Like, you live your life in a totally different way that most people live their lives. And you make choices that most people wouldn't make. So things like, I'll give you an example. Like, I go for either cryotherapy or an ice bath every day. And people are like, every day? I'm like, Yeah. Like, cause I've figured out how I live close to there, or how a task stacks. So I'm doing steps on the way, or whatever it is, Kundalini yoga. I've made a life that works for me. So I think that rather than comparing to other people's like social media or what you think someone's life is, like, actually ask. Like, you ask great questions, Hayley. Like, can I just ask you about this thing that's not necessarily like a campaign strategy for marketing, but it's like, what do you think about this? Or like, how do you deal with this thing in your real life? And I love those questions, because as well as sharing with you, it gets me to actually think and reflect on it for myself. So some people say to me, they're like, oh, Nick, like, you're so nice. I thought you were going to be a bitch. Like, I thought you were going to be a mean girl because you live in Beverly Hills and you do this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't know if that's actually like a compliment or it just means I'm doing a really bad job of my personal brand. But in the essence of that is people make judgments based on what they think and see, or what they think they see. And then we get to have the opportunity to really connect with people and ask questions and listen, like actually listen to what people are saying. There's so much wisdom that we have within the friendship groups that we're in to learn and grow. And I think if we just rather than making assumptions, it's like one of the four agreements, like don't make assumptions, rather than making assumptions and judgments, could we just get curious and ask better questions instead?
100%. And like that shifts everything. I think when people see that they're the creators of their own life, like don't, as you say, don't follow someone else's, like get curious, ask questions, and then create your life on your terms. And like, it's just always something that I like say to my clients as well, like rather than like, oh, this isn't working, it's like, oh, why didn't this work as well this time? Like, let's get curious around that. And that mind frame shifts everything as well. So you spoke about the brand and you spoke about the mission. Where is that going? So what does the future look like in the Nick Pigeon world?
Yes, I love it. Well, more global travel, obviously. We're going to go all the amazing destinations together. So that's a non-negotiable. I'm really excited to qualify and certify more positive psychology coaches. Just being able to see the impact of that. We've got 6 data sets now that show the positive shifts on well-being and that ripple effect going outwards for people before they study PPCA to after studying PPCA. So that's a solid, tangible intention that I've got, to certify 10,000 positive psychology coaches. Then when you guys go out and you have 1,000 clients, like you've got 1,000 clients, Hayley, that you impact. So I certify 10,000 coaches, you guys help 1,000 clients, then that activates the ripple effect of positive psychology coaching. And we know that those clients that have been coached positively impact every person they come into contact with. And the research says 135 people. So 10,000 coaches times 1,000 times 100 is 1 billion people. So that is what like keeps me going and keeps me like driving towards like getting the results and getting this out there in the world. As well as that, I've got a couple of other books that I'm doing with Hay House that feels really exciting. One positive psychology book for suicide prevention and another positive psychology book that's focused more on business and success as well.
So exciting. And personal life, is there any goals outside of business that you are working on or any visions that you're calling in?
I definitely want to have a family. Like I want to have babies. I'm like really clear on that. Like I want it all. Like when you
I
look
fully
at that, like
support that decision.
Woo! When you look at that, like the wheel of life and you look at all of the different areas, like I've had amazing relationships in my life before. So I'm really excited for that again and like just next level. I'm really excited to like expand into another home that I love. Like every single day, I'm grateful for where I live. I love it. It's so peaceful. And I want things like a pool. I want to be able to swim naked every morning and just like move my body in that way. So those things feel really exciting. And I know that everything that I do in business is also personal as well. So I think that's interesting to look at because I don't ever feel like I'm off because I live and breathe positive psychology and entrepreneurship. Like I live and breathe my mission. So it's not necessarily like this is a business goal over here and this is a personal goal over here because it's all everything.
And I feel that as well. It's just connected. And I think you'll be the same, that no matter what it looks like or business looks like in the future, it's just always going to be part of your mission to have these kind of conversations as well and to help impact people in some way as well. What is something that you wish people understood? So coming back to the sort of idea of behind the business, what is something that you wish people understood about having a business in this online space and having the kind of success that you've got as well in this space?
I think what just initially came up is like the only way out is through and nobody's going to do it but you. And I think that like one of the things that I've learned over the last few years is really allowing myself to be supported and held. But ultimately, as an entrepreneur, when it comes down to it, you're the person that has to make it happen. And I think the more that you can know that and remember it and live it, as well as leaning into support, the more successful you'll be, because it really helps you to call your power back and you're like, let's go.
I love that. And it's so good. And it's something that I've definitely had to work on. And I always say the hardest sort of limiting beliefs to let go of are the ones that have served us. And I can see like me having this, like where there's a will, there's a way, this grit, this like work ethic, the very things that like got me to where I wanted to be successfully in my life and business, then became the very things that were tripping me up, like not allowing myself to be supported, like working so much, like I'll do it myself, it'll be quicker, like all of these things started to be like, oh, they're now holding you back. And I think like that's where there's seasons as well in life and business, right? It's like, and can you be okay with those seasons of sometimes it's all you and it's just the responsibilities with you and you need to power through, and then other times be like, that's not serving me just now, actually. Like, let me let this go and let me allow myself to be supported.
Totally. I had a situation like that with the smoke alarms, which just gave me like a massive aha moment. And like it came through. It was something that I actually took into a plant medicine ceremony. I was like, I really need to handle this thing because the ceilings in here are like so high that when the batteries go in the smoke alarms, I'm like, how am I going to stop it from making a noise? So I got this stick and I whacked it off the ceiling, right? And then the smoke alarms were off the ceiling and I had an inspection for the house and I got told off that it wasn't safe from the fire department. So I was telling my friend about it and he was like, well, Nick, why didn't you ask me to help you? Like, I would have like brought a ladder and I would have fixed them for you. And you know, when you're just like, oh my God, I should have asked for help with the smoke alarms. Like, I didn't even think. And then I was like, where else does that play out in my life where I'm like, just got so used to living on my own in a different continent that I'll figure out a way to make it work or incidentally not work with the smoke alarms.
Yep, so and like, true. I don't know if you'll find the same as well, though, but in relationships, it actually helps improve our relationships when we do ask for help and 100%. We do let other people help us as well. And it's like then navigating that. Two questions to finish on. So first one is, if there's a moment in your business that was like the hardest to navigate, when would that have been and what were you navigating? And then we'll end on a positive. So what is one of the hardest situations that you've had in this, while you've been in this online space?
I think for me, it's like when personal things get in the way. So for example, when I had mold poisoning, like that was something that wasn't business related, but it impacted the business on such a level that it felt like I was wading through treacle continuously for a number of years. And what came up for me in that situation was I didn't feel well enough to be working in my business. And I felt like it was really hard to get through the day. And I've had multiple different versions of that, whether it's been a relationship breakup or whether it's been getting sick with the mold or whether it's been like moving continents. It's been various different things that have come up personally. But then you look at, I think my feeling was like, if I tell everyone that I'm sick, then people won't take me seriously. So through that time, I was like pushing through and showing up, even though I felt really, really unwell. So I found that really hard because there was a separation that happened. Similarly, like when I was going through like healing from being raped back when I was 25, like that sort of stuff, I felt like I was showing up as a version of myself online whilst behind the scenes, I was trying to get through things and do all of the inner work. And I wouldn't change it because there's some parts of your process that are so precious that you want to keep the energy for yourself and keep it contained until you get through it and you can process it. And maybe then you can go share or teach it. So that has been super hard because it impacts the business, whether you like it or not.
And how did you navigate those times? So how did you, when you felt that way, and as you said, you felt like there was a separation and you couldn't necessarily have those conversations, or that's what you were telling yourself at that time. How did you get through it, and what got you through those times?
I think one of the things that I always remember is like, that is being in leadership. And it's like the things that you go through that are hard, they're building a stronger sense of self. They're building, like, I know that I just have so much depth to give from and love from and teach from now because I've had all of these crazy bad experiences that have felt hard. Now I can literally like look people in the eye and I'm like, I know that you can get through this. Like, I know that there's a resilience, that there's a like a real sense of determination, grit, and knowing that comes through these hard times.
Resiliency as well is something that I speak about is I think that we sometimes forget how resilient we are as human beings, but also it's like that duality and having that sort of middle ground around knowing how resilient you are and you can get through everything while also knowing that sometimes you don't have to. Like a client of mine recently was asking, she was going through a lot of stuff, as you said, like personal life, and it affects business as well. And she was asking, like, how do I hold it all? And I said, you don't. Sometimes there is times where you have to hold it all, and then other times you put it down. And sometimes, like when you're in the gym and you're lifting weights, I'm like, you don't learn to hold a heavier weight by holding the weight you're holding continuously. You do reps, you put it down, and you can pick it back up again. And I think like it is that sort of duality of you're resilient and you'll get through it and you're going to be okay. And then other times it is like coming back to the conversation we had before about being supported. It's okay if right now you can't hold it all. It's okay to allow yourself to be supported. It's okay to ask for help or support in this time. But then I think as well, this is where a lot of inner work needs to be done to know when is the time to push through. And when it's actually is like that head down, you're going to get through this, and where you're, when is the time to not, and understanding when it's coming from a place of self-sabotage on either end, right? Because we can self-sabotage by holding everything and pushing through, and we can self-sabotage by going, this is too hard, I don't want to do it anymore.
Totally. And it's like having the distinction and being discerning to know when each one is like the best choice for you.
So we spoke about hardest time. What was one of the best times? So if you had to pick just one, I know there'll be lots, but just one time of like the best time, or when you felt the most excited or grateful, or just any moments that have like blew you away in this, and since you've been in this space.
I had a real moment on that boat in Barbados. Like, stages always do it for me, because I'm like, stages are amazing, and it's like you're born to do this, and it feels like so like powerful. But I had a real like grounding moment on that boat in Barbados, because there was like 40 people that had flown in from all over the world. We were out on the ocean. It was a beautiful day, and there was families there. And that was the first retreat that I'd said, like, bring all of your family. So it felt like a real moment in time where I sat quietly. Everyone else was like doing photos and music, and I sat on my little bench and I had a little cry, and I was like, oh, like, this is it. So I think it's those moments, and it's not always going to be when you expect it. It might hit you in a different way. I never expected to be on the boat and be like crying over that thing. Do you know what I mean? But it feels so special.
That day was just incredible. All of it, like you jumping on the trampoline at the end of the day with the kids was just like everything. I was like, I can just chill because like my coach is over there on a trampoline with my kids. Like, amazing. I love this. Okay, if you were to give the people listening one piece of advice, what would it be?
Like, it's really like the whole journey is the journey of trusting yourself. So it's like holding the vision for where you want to be, who you want to be, and trusting yourself through the process, understanding that the process is the reward and the joy in every day. Like, that's the result.
Yeah, I love that. And it is, it comes back to trust. And I think the whole, to round up the whole conversation we've had today as well, is something I'll say a lot is it's not about trusting that it will be okay, or trusting that the perfect situation will always happen. It's trusting that you'll always be okay no matter what. It's like, can you trust yourself you'll be okay if it works out, and also trust yourself you'll be okay if it doesn't? Because when you've got that, it's then it's just an internal job, right? And it's like, I just love that you said that about trusting yourself. Amazing. So where can everybody come and find you and connect with you?
nickpigeon.com, and I'm Nick Pidge on Instagram. I love a voice note. That's my favorite place to hang out.
Amazing. So you can voice note Nick, you can find her in those spaces, and I'll also get those links as well and add them in to the captions of this so people can easily find you. Nick, thank you so much for coming on here and for sharing all of this with everybody listening as well.
So good. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. You're so welcome. And thanks everybody for listening. And you can tune in again with another guest on next week's episode. I'll speak to you soon.
That was the Sigma Femme podcast with Hayley Forbes. To find out how Hayley can help you step into the next level of you and scale your business more than you ever thought possible, visit HayleyForbesCoaching.com. That's HayleyForbesCoaching.com.